hear that. Welcome, everyone. It's Tuesday, July 19th. It's our Tuesday chat with Crystal. And, of course, my lovely director of operations, my great, amazing co-host, the brilliant and wise Yvette Murray, is on the line with us today. Yvette Murray, and how are you doing today, darling?
Oh, after that, man, my head's swelling. I can feel it. That's okay. I like that kind of swell.
We had a great chat last week.
We did. I'm still reeling from it, so to speak.
Are you really?
Like, I never realized how much I had the self-talk that's not necessarily positive all the time. Like, I wasn't even conscious that I was the dialogue that was going on in my brain.
Week, has this been a week of awareness? Like,
awareness,
I'm doing it again?
When I started doing it, I'd stop it.
Talk louder, darling, because I have fans spinning all around the room right now.
Okay. I had to close my front door because the crosswind was beautiful but making noise. But, I kept saying, I love my body, I love my body, I love my body. I had to keep saying it because any time I started, thinking about eating or exercise, not exercising, pictures, body image, wearing clothes, and you know what? God love Dave, and I hope he doesn't listen to this call. It doesn't help. But I think you can relate with Aaron.
Yeah.
Because I went to the Argonauts game, and I wore shorts because it was like a 33 degrees day.
Yeah.
And I had my Argos T-shirt on, my Argos hat, and I felt like totally with the program.
Yeah.
And then I'm walking towards him, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's joking, like, oh, webolite or whatever. He has a word for it, like cellulite, whatever. And I'm thinking, I'm worried about my belly showing. Never mind my legs.
Thanks, buddy.
Buddy.
Maybe I might want to point out some of your flaws, but we don't. But we don't, and we never would.
No.
And we can't. We can't start doing that. We can't start doing that because then what does that do? But you know, there's been the odd time. Aaron has dramatically improved, and I swear that it's because I talked about it. Like, I would talk, and when he would do it, I would say, well, that's good. You just did that again. Or, don't shame me. Shaming, I don't know. I think I can't say it's a man thing because I think women do it too. So it's a thing. So I can't say it's a man thing. However, what Aaron has admitted.
It's prominent in the male species, I think.
Well, you and I had was it after our call last week where I was like,
We went on a roll still.
Well, I was on I've gotten myself on quite a little feisty train these days.
Yay! What's wrong with that?
I know, but you know, then you got to rise above it. So I have to keep, I'm sort of checking in with myself to see, like, I'm angry about that. That's an injustice. That's not appropriate. That's an inappropriate way to speak to someone. Don't speak to me that way. Something's really happened where it's like I find it interesting how people, when they're talking about anything that's a struggle, say you. It's third party. It suddenly becomes
they
you.
They don't own it. They don't own
it. No, it's like, well, you know how you feel when someone does that to you. You feel, no, tell me how you feel. So I'm going to do that. This week was a week that I want to be, you know, I want to be resonating in joy and love and bliss and peace. And that's my goal. That's my goal. So what I've been checking in with myself is, wait, am I at peace with this or am I being passive right now? Am I really at peace with this? And then you have to ask yourself, how many battles do you want to have? And have you already had this battle before? And do I have to change the way I'm so I actually texted this. Okay. I'm so funny because sometimes when I'm out and about and I have an idea and I don't have anywhere to write it down.
And you text it to yourself. I do that to myself all the time.
I text myself. And then I think it's funny because then I have a conversation with myself because then I sometimes occasionally text back. I'm like, there's me talking to me and then me talking back to me and then message. Anyways, I'm nuts. Let me see if I can find this right now. Crystal, where is Eddie's? Oh, so does this thought making me emotionally strong or weak? If weak, how weak? Test it within your body. Feel. These are just things I jotted. Ask yourself the right questions. Using empowerment spectrum, feel inside your body what level of communication you're operating from. So this week was a real, like, where am I really operating from? How am I really communicating? And then you have to ask yourself the right questions to walk yourself back up from that level.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you'll be able to get to the point that you're surrendered. However, if you don't climb the ladder one step at a time, in that rung, sort of on that ladder. You can't sustain the shift. You have to do it.
A temporary fix, like a band-aid.
Yeah, it's a temporary fix. It's like, okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to go to peace. I'm just going to climb up to peace. I'm going to.
Yeah, screw the rest of it. I'm jumping. I'm not dealing with all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with all that stuff. I just want to get back to peace. I'm just going to be peaceful and loving. But then if you never actually move through those levels with the people in your life or with a struggle that you're having or with a conversation that needs to happen, because what I've noticed is that I've created a scenario with the people around. We all do. We all do. Like, we all have these patterns. Actually, I wrote more, and that was when it got good. So let me just – so
mm-hmm. –
okay, so – shoot, where did I put it? No, it was a whole thing. It's not this one. See, I've sent it to another crystal, another. Anyways, where is it? Gosh, it doesn't matter. The point is, I realize that if I keep showing up, responding in the way that even though I'm frustrated at how I'm being talked to, or the shitty little comments, or the whatever it is, but if I keep coming back with the way I've been doing it, we just are going to stay stuck in this pattern. So mm-hmm. I really had to start looking at, okay, so let's say I'm you, and Dave says, well, cellulite on your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rub a light.
Like,
not
funny. And so what's happened to me over the last couple of years, and I know people are talking about, not people, like I'm so important. I actually put a boat up last out today that sort of said, it's like we think that if we don't talk about it, that we just stay happy and positive, and then we're – but it's like you have to have conversations sometimes that are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have – now, where the struggle for me is that what do you do when you want to have a conversation about an uncomfortable topic and the people around you have no interest in having that conversation, but they want to keep
mm-hmm.
continuing the pattern?
Mm-mm.
Are you hearing that one?
I'm hearing it. It's very deep.
So, but really, let's go with that. So it's like, okay, let's say you're upset that Dave's been making these little jokes. Dave makes little jokes, and it hurts your feelings. And for a
mm-hmm.
long time, how did you handle it? Would you laugh? Would you just let it be like a duck, let it fly off your back?
I had to learn to let it float off my back, but on some level, I don't. So
yeah,
in front of
course
of him,
you
like, yeah,
don't.
Yeah, whatever. Right,
this
yeah.
is the person that you love, the person that you want to be loved by, the person that you want, that you are attracted to and you want to be attractive to. This is the person that you, for me too, Yvette, this is, I'm saying, this is for all of us
yeah.
on this call. We all want that. Like, the person that you choose to love in a romantic way, yeah, it's like, this is a really big commitment on some levels that we're making to each other, and I don't think a lot of people really give thought to, how do we show up together? How are we communicating? How are we handling
mm-hmm.
even the little things, you know, they always say it's never about this, it's always about that. But, you know, it's the same with me. So, like, this week has really been, okay, wait, have I been passive about things? Have I been peaceful or am I passive? Am I passive aggressive? Then I get aggressive. Then all of a sudden I get angry. And I'm like, well, okay, we really have to look at, like, how are we handling these situations? So we can't blame Dave, but Dave is mirroring back to you. We can blame Dave. I'm gonna be really honest. I would say that's unacceptable. And I've allowed you
mm-hmm.
to talk to me that way. So it's like with Aaron. Okay, I'm going to do it with me and Aaron. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you do have a million things that are great. See, Aaron can't handle, like most of us can't, criticism. Most of us can't handle criticism. If I were to say, when you do that, it makes me feel, you know, then he'll go, oh, I'm just shit. Okay, I'm just a shitty husband.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
just extreme. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
so extreme. It's like, no, I'm not saying you're a shitty husband. You're an amazing husband. But when you tell me I have cellulite, I want to not ever be naked in front of you again. I actually don't want
yeah.
you to touch me. I don't want to have sex with you. I don't want you. And then I'm actually really robbing myself because of
mm-hmm.
your big mouth,
mm-hmm.
pleasure, intimacy, love, joy, so we can keep doing this where I feel
mm-hmm.
under the surface. Because I have the same thing. Aaron, like, I don't know. And Aaron, it's really gotten better. Not that we're swinging from the chandeliers in intimacy yet, which I would
mm-hmm.
love to, but he thinks is unimportant. Different people. What are you going to do if you can't talk about it? See, what if he's...
But take it a step further. I mean, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this.
Okay.
But my understanding and how I think of the psychology of it and whatnot is that it really is a reflection of, he's mirroring, like the man, Dave or Aaron, mirroring back what's actually going on in your own head.
Yes.
Any dialogue that's going on in your own in your
yes.
own head.
Yes. So
that's really, really needs to start from, isn't it?
Well, it always is about us. However, right. this is why it's so important we do the work to heal our own wounds. Don't get me wrong, Yvette, I still have those conversations. There's times where it's like, you know, for God's sake, I ate some damn Honey Nut Cheerios yesterday morning. I couldn't mm-hmm. figure out by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, my feet were swollen like sausages. I literally mm-hmm. felt like, and then I was like, what have I eaten? There has to be. Oh, my God. Juliet had some Honey Nut Cheerios for breakfast, and they were sitting there, and I just poured a little bowl with some milk. That little bit can affect me. Anyways, that's not the point. The point
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
I'm constantly doing the dialogue that, Crystal, You look great. You're 45. You look great. Okay, what could you change? Okay, you have, you know, the whole conversation you and I had last week about how we look. Because
mm-hmm.
we all have this conversation with ourselves at some level. But same thing. I really feel like I've come so far in being able to just show up authentically and love myself in spite of whatever you think about me. If
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty, I'm not pretty. I'm fat, I'm skinny. I'm huge, I'm tiny. I'm short, I'm tall. Whatever you think I am, I really have sort of come to a piece inside about me. And, you know, it's some of my friends who just really started saying, wow, it's real. Like, I'm hanging out with you now all the time. And, like, this is real. And I'm like, yeah, I've been saying this for years. But it took time mm-hmm. to show them this is really who I am. So it's not being mirrored back to me even from my friends now. So that's good. But it's still being mirrored back to me in my marriage. So there's a part of us where we're always having to heal ourselves, the conversation we're having. Why is that upsetting me? Because it's mirroring something that I say to myself. But on the other hand, you can't have people in your life who are blatantly hurtful, disrespectful, think it's funny, make jokes, if it's just not kind.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a conversation at some point that we have to say, whether it's to Julia, because Julia still is great. You know, look how I support that kid. That kid can still
confused. She was so embarrassed. Like, Mom.
That's sweet. You don't understand. I posted that because that's the sweet version of her going, Mom. Normally she's like, stop it. Put the camera. Don't talk to him. Like, I just want to go, my God, kid. Like,
what Aaron said, not yet. What Hollywood?
I know. He's like, she has to improve her social skills. I look over at him like, I'm constantly in the middle.
Is that a typical man? It's like, don't pipe them up too high. Because
yeah, no, she won't make it.
She
has to improve her social skills. Okay, she does have to improve her social skills, but do you think telling her that is the way to help her improve? It doesn't help. It doesn't goddamn help. Sorry for swearing. I can't believe how much I swear these days, too. This is another thing. I've become so damn passionate. I just have these swear words blurp out of my mouth all the time. Anyway, so I just find that's not acceptable. And there has to be a conversation that we can have that says, you know, when you make jokes like that, it makes me feel. And what I realized with Aaron is that he finally admitted to me, I think a lot of men do this to their women. He
mm-hmm.
said it. He goes,
mm-hmm.
my dad did it to my mom. I grew up seeing it. My dad is so mad, was so mad. He's still so madly in love with his mom. After 25 years, she left him. And
mm-hmm.
she left him because he always made little put-downs. They didn't have a passionate sex life. There's a whole series of reasons why a marriage falls
mm-hmm.
apart. There's anger. There's no one in his family talks about anything. Like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking about major issues. They show up at the event. Everybody's lovely. Well, mine just don't even talk at all. They don't get together. And then there's those families that still get together. They don't talk about anything. There's so much pain under the surface. No one ever talks about anything. And to
mm-hmm.
me, it's like really uncomfortable being in that space of that really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my business.
Because you're almost the opposite, yeah.
Because I want to talk about things. So I've got a husband who doesn't want to talk about anything, but he has admitted that, yes, he has in the past, and, yes, he even sexually, like, he'll admit, he'll say, I don't know, I'm so attracted to you, I want to make love, I think you're beautiful. Like, he finally admitted all this. I think you're so beautiful. It's a way of maintaining control.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for a man to maintain control. He doesn't want his woman to think she's too sexy because she might cheat. But she's going to cheat if you don't have sex with her, dum-dum. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
want her to think she's too thin, beautiful, looks too good because it might go to her head. Aaron said, I think a lot of men do this. They don't even realize they're doing it. Those little comments are actually, because they're trying to make us feel smaller.
Put you in your place, so to speak.
Put us in our place, make us feel, but it's not conscious. Like Aaron would say, I love you. I never felt this feeling for anyone the way I love you. I can't believe the shit that comes out of, or like if he's mad at Juliet, the shit that comes out of his mouth when he's mad, I just find to be, that's not acceptable. We don't make fun of people, or you don't say, let's talk about it in a way that's respectful. Let's teach each other how to talk to each other in a way that is kind and compassionate and reasonable and truthful. So if you're really upset about something, so the thing is, Yvette, are you comfortable having that uncomfortable conversation?
No.
So what happens instead is you guys every so often will have a fight.
Yep.
Or do you not fight?
No, no, we do. We get along fabulously, and then it'll be just a period of time. And what's happening, I think, too, is because I've moved, and I'm starting to see now that sort of, you're not here for me kind of thing. And I'm like, holy moly, like I'm so there for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going through the same thing where he's flustered about something, or like his computer broke down, and it was like a tragedy. And I'm going, well, let's get it fixed. Like, let's do this and this. And well, wait till next time you have something break. And then you know what I mean? I won't be supportive. And meanwhile, I think I'm being supportive.
So what's really going on in your relationship is that you've stepped away and you've gotten your own place. And that's scary. It's another step. It's like, I just think they don't realize they do this to us. It's like he feels he's losing you. And instead of coming closer, being more affectionate, being more tender, being more communicative, letting, you know, sharing his
feelings.
It's
like pushing you away instead.
Yeah, it's like we're constantly being tested, you know, and some of us do the testing. Some of us are in relationships where we constantly test, like, how much does he love me? Let's have another fight. Let's see if he comes back. I don't want any part of that.
Me neither. I don't
I want,
have any time
I want
for that.
No time for that. I want no part of that.
No, and
I sound like I'm almost self-righteous, and I am. That's why I have to work on it, because I think to myself, I coach people, and yes, sometimes the shit that comes out of my mouth when I'm coaching people, I do think, it's not fun. It's not fun sometimes to have to just call someone on something because they're not seeing it, and you're outside of it, and it's very obvious. So it's hard, but I try to do it with love, and that I carry over in every relationship in my life. Like, I sometimes have to have a hard conversation with someone, but I really do try to do it with love. And then, we've talked about this before, and then I become crazy angry when I see the people around me not doing it with love. Just, why? Why? The day was going so beautifully. Why are those comments necessary? Why? You know, and so then again, it's like comes back to how are you and I and all of us on this call, what do we do with those shitty comments? And what's happening to me, and I can't believe it. It scares me a bit because in an honest moment, I think, did I just say that? Holy fuck, I just said that. Okay, now I've got to just step away and let that person process what I just said, because I can't believe I just said it, and I said it, and now I'm prepared to stand by what I just said, which is when you do that, it makes me feel, or I can't be around you. So I love you. I can't spend time with you if this is the way it's going to be. I've done it with some friendships. I've done it with, like, it's actually like in my head, I think, what the hell is happening? What's happening to me? Is this, am I taking it too far? Am I going to have anyone left? Am I going to have anyone left? Because, like, you know, do I have to be misempowered all the time? But I just cannot tolerate anymore being in a relationship that is abusive on any level. I just don't want to be abused.
And because this is what I think of what's for me. The more healing I do on myself, the more I'm very aware of inappropriate behaviors or things that aren't healthy. So it's like red flags. Like, it's before
unhealthy.
I might not even know.
That's unhealthy.
I look back at different relationships and think, how come I never saw it? And I think, well, because I was so unhealthy myself.
Exactly.
And I was feeding into it, too.
So right
now,
you're getting healthier.
Yeah.
And so as much as Dave is, yes, mirroring a thought in you, but it's also mirroring a thought now that says, that's not an acceptable thought.
Yeah.
Not for me to have and not for you to have.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make me feel loved or lovable, not for me to have it with myself and not for you to have it with me. And if that's how you feel about me, then maybe this isn't working. And that's a scary, scary conversation to say to somebody. Or maybe you don't have to go to that extreme to say this isn't working.
Yeah.
But when you say things like that, it makes me feel so bad about myself. It makes me feel unwanted, unattractive. That takes courage to tell somebody that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to share your feelings. It takes courage to be vulnerable. It takes courage to not toughen up and say, whatever, I'll let it roll off. It takes courage to actually say, that hurts my feelings. And
well,
that's what I
say. You know, oh, I'm with the program. I'm looking sporty. Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Woo, it feels good. And then it's like, rebel light. I'm like, oh, why do you do that? Like, I just said, why are you doing that?
You know,
that?
Erin used to
What's the point?
we thing. Everything was we.
Yeah.
We've got to start working out because we are getting fat. We are looking like shit. We are looking old. We are, and I just think, well, that's great that you want to say we, but why don't you just say you? If that's how you feel about yourself, and
yeah.
That, I still will say, Erin, don't speak like that about yourself. But don't speak about me like that either.
Yeah. Because Dave does speak about himself like he'll say comments and stuff. No. You know, and I know he doesn't feel good about himself, and so it's like he wants, you know how it's like join the party?
Yeah.
He wants the other person not to feel good about themselves. Like, how could you be doing so well, so feeling so good and have a great positive attitude when I feel like a bag of shit?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why they, you know, we all talk about who we choose to spend our time with. And it doesn't mean, mm-hmm. a disagreement doesn't mean it's over. A disagreement means we have to have a conversation about this for us to grow.
Well,
to get
closer. Because I'm out of here. So for me, it is over in that moment.
Yeah, and
that's
so frustrating for me because that's what Erin does. He's gone. He's in the car. Like, I mean, he's literally, I just begin to talk about something I'm not happy about, and he slips out of the room and shuts the door on me before I know it. The car is starting, like, gone. And then he comes home literally like, hi, honey. I brought us something really good for dinner. Like, it's just... And it's
like nothing's happened.
It's been 9 years of this. So it's like whether I want to talk about our sex life, whether I want to talk about something stupid as the house is a mess and we both need to share in the cleaning because I'm doing all of it. And you don't want us to get a cleaning lady, but I do all the cleaning and I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, so can we talk about it? Like, and the thing is, I don't start this elevated, but the truth is I have a loud, elevated, intense voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to like constantly
and
work
you're
at like
it.
And I'm passionate about everything. So it doesn't mean I'm angry at anyone. It just means my voice is... But it's just, sometimes, right, these relationships, they just keep teaching us and pushing us. And how do we... So what I'm saying is, what I keep doing now is, if I talk in that way, it's going to push. So how do I have to lift myself higher where I can have an assertive... But I have to have those conversations sometimes that are uncomfortable. And that's...
And not a cut off your head...
I'm not leaving you over this.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving you over this,
mm-hmm.
but I'm letting you know how it makes me feel. So when you do that, I will leave. Then I will leave every time you do that. I will sleep on the couch every time you do that. And then that sucks because then you can get in a habit of like, I'm sleeping on the couch because we're not intimate. But someone
rather
has to
sit in the bed.
Yeah, like something has to change here. If we keep doing the way we're doing it, we're going to keep getting the same results. So something has to change here. And the reality is I just keep saying to myself, women are going to have to heal this world. We're going to have to heal the way men talk to us. We're going to literally have to teach them how to talk to us and then reward. It sounds so horrible to think you're the dog trainer. Like, I'm not trying to come across like that, but it's almost true. We're teaching our children how to communicate. We're going to have to teach our men how to communicate. We have to teach ourselves how to communicate. Really communicate in a way that can address an issue, even if we get passionate, even if our voices get elevated, but we're listening still. We're listening to each other. And then if we have to take a pause, step away, process it, think about it, then we come back again and talk about it. Why can't we talk about anything from Black Lives Matter to the police killings to your body fat to your anger at your partner or your mother or your child or your – why can't we talk about it? All I want to do is talk about things. I think talking is the only way
to
heal things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got to tell you, last week, I didn't even, like, I mean, I had a falling, I let one of my longest-term employees, he had a little hissy fit, and I thought to myself, no, you've done this to me so many times. I let him quit, And he's done it. He's good on me so many times. I always go, I call him. I take him out for dinner. We talk. I tell him how important he is. And he feels really happy. And then he comes back and works for me. And I just started thinking, this is crazy. That I have to, no, I'm always, is that peaceful or passive? Am I teaching people, like my daughter or Aaron or my, you know, different people, they can be rude to me and I will come back to the table over and over and over and over and try to talk about it again. But at a certain point, if it's not changing, I have to have stronger consequences. You're going to have to miss me now. You're not going to have me so available in your life. I'm going to have to set a boundary for you to actually miss me and then to think about what I've said, because I'm not asking for anything that's unhealthy. I'm asking for healthy behavior for both of us. That means I have to adhere to that too.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about anything you want to talk about, and we don't have to yell about it. We can keep talking about it and keep talking about it until maybe we just say we're just not seeing each other's perspective. I think there's always a way to see each other's perspective, but it takes talking about it. And I'm frustrated. You know, I didn't say anything to you, but you know, I love Beyonce. Or did I already talk about this?
No.
Did I talk about the Beyonce thing?
Well, okay, you talked about her a few times, but I don't know what you're referring to now.
So I see this post on Facebook that says Beyonce had done a post, you know, right before those. Like, God bless those police officers. When I ever say anything about Black Lives Matter, my God, I'm talking about all lives matter, but this is just a cause right now that needs talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I guess Beyonce had posted something about an hour before that Dallas shooting went down. And the Facebook was calling to indict Beyonce for inciting violence. And the whole post was like bullshit. It was just wrong. It was false. I'd read what she'd written. She didn't say, let's go out and fight and kill the police. She said, we need to go to our politicians, use our voices, talk about what the problems are, something along that. So this Facebook, I wish I hadn't in one way, because this thing had maybe had 300 likes. Any of their posts have about 300 likes on this page.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is inaccurate. This is not what she said. What she actually said was, that's all I wrote. I didn't say I'm a Beyonce lover, but I am a Beyonce lover. Anyways, honest to God, I got over 200 messages. I didn't even tell you. Calling me a white racist, calling me I have white guilt, telling me, you know, mind your own. I was called horse teeth. One woman called me, hey, horse teeth, you're not even American, mind your own effing business. And like, I could not believe the anger. And I'm not saying white or black, but it was all white people. White people attacking me because I was completely blown away by, like, I had people telling me to, you know, shut up and mind your own business. I just couldn't believe. And that post, the last time I looked, probably 4 or 5 days ago, I just looked like, holy, well, the only thing I wrote back is I can't believe this hatred. I'm bowing out of this conversation. I was referring to the inaccuracies of this post. That's period.
Mm-hmm.
That post now has hit like 46,000 people because
of,
I feel like, because, you know, and I just went, wow, I just can't believe it. But that doesn't mean I have to stop talking about things.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if it's in your relationship with your children, with your parents, with your social media. I think we have to talk about things that matter, and we have to be open-minded, and we can't be aggressive, defensive, offensive. If you were talking with Dave, I think it's okay to say, you know, I'm really wanting to feel good about myself, and one of the things is really having good mental self-talk. It matters how I talk to myself. It matters how you talk to yourself, Dave. When you talk to me like that, it makes me feel, what does it make you feel?
Less than. It makes me feel like there's something wrong with me.
Right.
Like there's a battle within myself when I hear it.
It's like, I've already got the battle. I already got the battle, Dave. I don't need you to be on
the
opposing side.
Yeah.
Be my teammate.
Yeah.
Be my teammate. Be on the same team as me. Be my lover. Be my man. Be my safe place where I lay my head. Be those things for me. I need you to be those things for me. That takes courage. That takes courage to tell someone that you love. those kind of things. And I think, though, that's the only way we're going to teach them. You know, I have to keep saying to Julia, Julia, you have to be kind in the way. It's not what you say. It's how you say things. You have, and it just takes courage to keep. But, like, I got to tell you, there's been a couple times just this week where, even with Julia, I'm just like, no, we're not doing it this way anymore. And it's another, I'm feisty again. Like, I think I don't mm-hmm. want to be feisty like this. I want to be floating around in the peace and the joy and the harmony. Like, that's where I want to mm-hmm. be. That's where I am. And then something happens and I get pulled back down. So we have to have conversations. What do you think, Yvette? I've just jet-babbled away.
I agree with you 100% because I think a lot of the virus, so to speak, is when we don't voice what we're feeling, and then it festers, and then it gets worse and worse and worse, and that it's almost like a cancer or a virus, right?
It is. Emotions.
To the surface, and I think it's really important what you speak of is doing it in a way, because I know myself, it's like my little warrior comes out. It's like, no, fuck you. No, we're not doing
yeah.
it. Instead of,
yeah.
when you say this makes me feel, or in a more softer, kinder approach, and it's more of, you're going to not do that because I'm telling you not to do that.
Yeah. It doesn't
I don't
work.
Like it when you do that, right?
Yeah.
So I know for myself, I end up in a battle, I'll use Dave as an example, that's worse than it really is.
Me too.
I get in battles
with Aaron that are
yeah.
that become so ridiculously out of context, out of proportion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
exactly.
It becomes almost like, I cannot believe that this just turned into this because I was saying when you do that, it makes me feel sad. But maybe
but
they don't come.
It's almost funny. Like sometimes I'm thinking, going, I can't believe, like just like certain things that Dave was saying and doing last week. I was thinking, like seriously, like this is funny. But for him, it's not. He's really in it. And I'm thinking, how could he possibly think like that? Right.
Yeah. But then how can you possibly think like that? If I were to say to Aaron, I can't even believe you're seeing it from this perspective.
Yeah.
I think it's when those shaming things come in. You know, I can't believe that you can't see it my way. It's very
yeah.
shaming.
Yeah, it is very shaming.
I do it too. And mm-hmm. and I just keep reminding myself, it's like, I think there are times where I think, why does it have to be me? Well, because, damn it, I don't think it's going to be men that are going to heal this world. I think it's got to be each one of us in our own personal relationships before we can really teach this to the world. Like, you know, I still have women say, okay, so when are we going over there to Pakistan and heal? It's like, what? Do you actually think I'm flying to Pakistan right now to heal Pakistan? Like,
you're doing it in your own world.
You got to heal your own world. And then that begins to have a ripple effect where then more women are coming in and healing their own worlds. And then we are getting women from India now. We are getting women from countries. I don't think we have anyone from Pakistan yet. I don't think those women would be ready for our conversations yet. I would love for them to be ready. But mm-hmm. what I'm saying is, like, when I have women that say, well, how are we going to heal the whole world? By you. You got to
yeah.
heal you. That's how you're going to heal the world. You got to heal you, and the way that you're communicating with your partner, with your children, with your coworkers, you got to heal that. And then that becomes a ripple effect. And then you got to write about it. You got to post about it. You got to tweet about it. You've got to not be afraid. And even if you are afraid, still speak your truth. Have conversations. Write for our magazine. Write for other magazines. Yes, start a blog. We've got to keep talking. We have to talk, whether it's you.
And as
you're
talking,
saying,
Crystal, you're sounding like Darth Vader.
Oh, I'm sounding like Darth Vader? I'm garbling?
Yeah, it's the sound. For me, I don't know, it's for everybody.
Are you hearing me now?
I can hear you, but it's like that.
Can you hear me now?
That's much better.
See, I always say the universe. Like, there's some dark side that always tries to get in there and go, let's fuck her chi up. She's trying to empower the women. The Matrix is like, don't really let her talk. Are you hearing me?
Can you hear my cat in the background?
Yeah, that's okay.
Going,
well, we've just babbled away. I think there's been some babbling going on here today with our lovely ladies. I hope you all are hanging in there and dealing with us in our babble. But, yeah, we have to keep talking. And that's what I was saying as I got garbled. We have to write about it. We have to post about it. We have to write blogs mm-hmm. about it. Write for our Simply Woman magazine. Tell your story. Tell what you're going through. Yvette, it's profound for you to say, do you know, we talked about this last Tuesday, and I'm still wrestling around with this thing in
mm-hmm.
my head.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about it. That's healing it.
Yeah. And, you know, you'll love this. So I wake up this morning, and the song comes into my head, I Think I Love You. from head to toe, that song.
Yes.
I just start singing it, and then I thought about how profound on some level, somewhere, something is coming to my head, because that's what I'm doing. I'm reaffirming that I love me
yes.
from head to toe, literally.
Yes.
And like, where did that song come from?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's in my head. Isn't
so that's
awesome?
A God wink. To me, those are God
yeah.
winks. And then that's a signpost to say, "You're that's right. Doesn't that make you feel better about yourself?
Yeah, and I started dancing and singing out of tune, but who cares?
It's
all good. It's a good way to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, it's moving in the direction of making yourself, loving yourself, feeling good about yourself. And so, yeah, we have to have conversations. And so if it's a battle that you're having in your own head, write about it. Because millions of other people are having that battle, and then you don't feel so alone in your battle. You don't realize that this is not just a you thing. This is a universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I keep telling women, talk about those things. And then, you know, I do get, like, even my own SWAT students will, you know, I've had a couple that say, I think when you're posting about things, it's just bringing more attention to it. And I think you need to, you know, don't give any power to Trump or don't give any power to politics or don't. And I actually want to say, don't tell me what
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. You write what you want to write. You talk about what motivates you, inspires you, scares you, shames you, angers you. You do what, and let those conversations happen in your life. But don't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what healing is. Healing is respecting each other's differences and not imposing yourself on someone else. But if someone imposes themselves on you, you can say, when you do that, it makes me feel. Or I feel, and then you have the boundary time. Then you get to decide, okay, I'm going to let that stay in my life, or I'm going to have to put up a boundary. And what you have to trust is yourself enough to know you're worthy that person is going to come back and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, and time starts to, you still have to trust yourself that I have to sometimes hold that space and trust that I'll be missed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the only thing at this point. That's the only medicine I can give this person because I've tried everything else, if you really know you've tried everything else. But I think a lot of people check out on their loved ones and then say, oh, I'm just holding space. It's like, no, you've checked out. You never had
mm-hmm.
the hard conversation. You never spoke your truth. You never told them what you really needed. You never set healthy boundaries. You never gave them consequences. You never gave them a chance to fight for you or it or get better
heal. You either stick with it and passively deal with it, or you just cut them loose and not
right.
give them the opportunity to resolve whatever
it is. And
I
think there's so many relationships that can be so enhanced and healed if we could
mm-hmm.
make the commitment to say, I'm not leaving you forever. I would love to keep talking. If we can talk about this, I'm in. But still stonewalling me on this, I'm out. Until you're ready to talk, because I love you and I miss you and I want to have something healthy with you. I want that. My door is open if we can talk. If we can be kind, if we can be healthy, if we can even if we disagree about this thing, but we keep respecting each other, then eventually you're going to find common ground, and eventually, you know, if that person matters enough to you, you will both heal it and your relationship
mm-hmm.
will grow, expand, become beautiful. We have to trust ourselves enough that we matter enough to that person. And that's what we're afraid to do. That's
mm-hmm.
why women don't do it enough. We're actually afraid. What if I say, when you speak to me that way, it makes me feel. And if you keep talking to me that way, whatever your consequences. We're afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so afraid they might say, then go F yourself.
Yep. And they may do.
And they might. And
yeah.
what I say is, if someone is willing to give you up that easily, then, boy, you don't know your own worth.
Right.
And so you have to know your worth. And then, believe me, people won't, because I've done it. It's even in the last week, I've had a couple, like, I go, afterwards, like, I almost thought, oh, my God, I can't believe I said all that. Holy shit, I said it. Like, I said it. Oh, my God. What if they never talk to me again? What if they never come back? What if they, I do it. I'll see a friend's post, like, I still will have little panic attacks inside if I see a friend's
mm-hmm.
post that says something like, I'm so, that, I think, ugh. Oh, shit, who's she mad at? What's she mad at? What's going on? Like, I still have this. What did I do? Did I do something? Is that about me? Oh, my God. So, like, it's having the self-esteem and the self-worth to know you're a good person, You're talking about being healthy. You want a healthy relationship with the people in your life. You want kindness. You want respect, dignity, fun. You want fun. Mm-hmm. You want joy. You want to be lighthearted. You're not talking about being a rigid, boring, old, crabby person that can't joke around about stuff, but not mean. Mean is not going to work in my life. If you want to be mean to me, you're not going to be in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And that's hard sometimes to do.
Very hard.
Why don't we take some callers?
Yeah,
I'm actually going to, ladies, there's a lot of hands that have gone up, so I'm actually going to clear them because it might have been somebody that doesn't have anything to say at this point, so I'm going to clear all the lines just so you know everybody's put their hand up. They're all cleared. If you want to add to this conversation, this is the time. Add your
That's
hand.
That's so funny.
Boom,
yeah.
Here we go. We're
back
out.
Back up.
Okay, who's this from Toronto?
It's Giselle. How are you, Crystal?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. Hi, Yvette. How are you doing?
Hi. Wonderful. Thank you.
Tell us what's going on. Are you still there? Oh, I think I muted her.
I think you muted her.
Oh, I did that. Is it Giselle?
Yes.
Giselle. Yes. Giselle, talk to me.
It was like a conversation we had maybe a month ago on one of your Tuesday calls. Actually, the advice you gave me is exactly what you were talking about saying that I love you, but the way you make me feel, I'm, you know, the way, I'm losing my train of thought.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
okay.
Way,
when you
exactly
talk to me like
saying.
That, I feel, yeah.
Right, and I can't spend time with you and whatnot, and I did that a couple of times, actually.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a really good response with it.
Yeah.
Not at all. One response with my mother, I actually used that same conversation with my mother. We actually grew stronger. We talked about it and we talked through things and she understands me more and she actually thinks about what, so it worked for her.
Yeah.
But when it came to my husband, it definitely didn't work.
This is what Yvette and I last week were saying, what is it about men? Like we're not trying, we don't want to get into a man bashing. It's very important we don't go that route. But this is what Yvette and I were talking about. It's like, why can we have these conversations with the women in our life? Why can I say to the women in my life, it's not my mother, so I'm so happy because your mother's invested and she really wants that relationship with you. It's really important to her that you and her are close. It matters if she's hurt your feelings. She loves you.
Right.
So she's willing to hear it. That's what healthy relationships do.
Well, at first she wasn't, but as time passed and as she sees that I'm growing and turning into a stronger woman and she's very proud that I don't let anybody walk all over
me. And the reason, but you did, you said at first she didn't like it, but you had to stay with it, right? You had to say, Mom, I can't back down. Like, I love you, I want you in my life, but it has to be in a healthy way. Okay.
I even had to say to her that I'm sorry, but I need to go now. I've spent enough time. I don't feel good right now. I have to go.
Yeah. And eventually she respected that, and that's how change happens. We got to have some of those uncomfortable conversations sometimes with the people we love.
I agree.
We have to. Like, I had to say to Julia, if you continue to speak, I'm not speaking to you for the rest of the night because you're so rude to me. So then she has to really feel those consequences. And, you know, now with your partner, your husband, when you say it to him, here's what I think we're realizing is that men real like, let tell me what happened. So when you blah, 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 talk to me like that, I feel, what did you say to him? Like, was it a calm
No, I feel it actually was a circumstance that happened.
Okay.
I'll just briefly go through it. You know, my son has special needs. He's not potty trained, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I fell asleep after jumping on the trampoline with him, and he was watching his car races, and he had an accident. Number two accident. So it was all over. And like, I was startled when I woke up, so I got a little bit excited. You know,
Yeah, there's poop everywhere. Okay, so we got to clean up the poop.
Exactly. My husband was out, and I was doing the best I can. My son is like, oh, God, he's taller than me, so I had to get him in the bath. And my husband comes home and just saying, you can't even handle your son. You can't do this. And he's disrespecting me. And I'm like, ready to blow, but I didn't blow. And I made that comment. I said, you know, I don't like the way you're talking to me. You're disrespecting me. And I said, this is the reason why I can't spend time in the same room as you, or I have to go out and whatever. And then he asked me, why, are you God? I said, no, I'm not God. I'm just well, but I deserve much more than what you're giving me.
Yeah.
And I walked up the room. I walked up to attend to my son. So it's, oh, my goodness. And then I have a mentor.
Okay, let me ask you. Let's stay with this, though, before we move on.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
So this is an actual example of your, so your husband comes in, and the truth is, mm-hmm. it's a lot of work taking care of your son.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work. And so your husband says, I can't believe you can't handle your own son.
Right.
And that really hurt your feelings.
Right.
That really
Not that
hurt
I
your
believe
feelings.
It. Not
no,
that I
but
believe
it really hurt your feelings because this is not an easy situation. I'm doing the best I can, and sometimes I can't handle my own son.
Right.
And that hurt my feelings because the truth is I'm an incredible mother. I'm doing the best job I can, but there are times I can't handle my own son. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurt. There was a hurt in there. It was like, why would you say that to me? Then there's a feeling of truth. So on another note, what we have to do is we have to own our own triggers. We have to actually say to ourselves, I can't handle my own son sometimes. I can't handle my own son. I can't handle Julia sometimes, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sometimes. I actually think I can't believe I can't handle this kid right now. Like, I can't handle this. But you have to own that so that it won't trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to own. Sometimes
okay.
I'm a shitty mother.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm a crappy mother. Sometimes I suck at being a mother. Sometimes I don't want to be a mother. Sometimes being a mother is the hardest job in the world. Sometimes being a mother was not what I expected. Sometimes when you can own all that stuff, that's half the battle. And this is what Yvette and I are talking about for the whole conversation, because it doesn't mean that none of those things, but we all have those thoughts sometimes, and when we deny those thoughts to ourselves, when we create shame around a thought or guilt around a thought, or then people show up in our lives to mirror it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of a hard, deep concept, and the more and more you keep hearing it and practicing it, the better this is going to get, like for you, where you'll realize, oh my God, my husband is triggering in me. Like when he says, who do you think, you're God? I want to punch you out.
Yes, that's what I do think I am.
Yes, right? Because on some level, there's like, who do you think you're God? That's his. That's his. You got to know that's his projection. He thinks he's God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know we're always mirroring and projecting in our close relationships. But what Yvette and I have come to the realization is that way of talking to men doesn't always work. It just doesn't work always to be like, there'll be consequences. They'd be like, oh, go F yourself. Like I think a lot of men would. There'll be consequences. I'll show you consequences. You know, and so I think we have to almost really ask ourselves, where in the empowerment spectrum am I? Am I resonating in anger? Okay, or am I down in shame? Am I feeling afraid? Am I really feeling guilty? Am I in that distance? Because then I'm showing up in a way that's teaching people, treat me this way, mirror to me what I feel deep inside. That's what they're going to do for us. They reveal it to us. So there's a 50% of it is doing our own work, healing our own shit, healing our own shame, figuring out where we're really at. And then there reaches a point where you say, okay, I now want to have a healthy relationship with my husband. So you have to get really clear on what you want. So when you're talking to your husband, it has to be in a way that says, I love you. Like, I don't know where you're at. Are you in a position right now where you feel that you love him?
No, I'm only at the position of greeting him at the door, and that's gone haywire after 2 days. So
Okay, go back to that. I'm not at the point that I love him. I'm at the point where I'm...
I can't say it. No, like I was saying, I have a mentor coach through SWAT, and, you know, we wanted to start off by saying, good morning, did you have a nice day, and stuff like that. So I started with that.
Because I'm so glad you have her. But what are your? So you have to go underneath it. What are you really feeling under the surface? Because that's going to shine through even your good morning. If your good morning is actually I hate your fucking guts, then good morning isn't going to feel like a good morning. It's actually going to be that elephant in the room that I'm talking about. It's still the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is I don't feel happy and in love with you anymore, and I'm sad. Because the truth is, Giselle, if you could wave a magic wand, wouldn't you want your marriage to be beautiful again like it was right when you first met him?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want it to be kind and loving? You don't really hate his guts. You're so hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You're fed up. You're exhausted. You're angry. Mm-hmm. And so all of that creates this I'm having a hard time even saying good morning.
Mm-hmm.
When you can get clear as a woman what your intentions are, because you're actually, you're so loving. Your real personality is very loving. You want to love and be loved.
It is, yeah.
And I can feel that in you. You're a loving person. And you have a son who, as God bless him, he probably exhausts you too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In a good way, yeah.
In a good
yep.
way. But in a, it doesn't mean you don't love him, like, but it's still hard.
Oh, it is.
I love my job, but it still mm-hmm. exhausts me sometimes. It's still hard at times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love my children. But my kids can exhaust me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Julia is just a high-maintenance kid. But so I get it. So when you really think about what you want, you imagine you could talk to your husband and it would take courage to say, I'm really sad of what's happened to our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sad. You know, my dream for us is so much better than this. Like, if I could really dream my greatest dream for us, I want to love you and be loved. I want to have a great relationship with you. This is what I'm talking about. It takes courage to
mm-hmm.
have really loving, vulnerable, honest. It's actually easier to say, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to say, I don't want to be around you, because it takes work. And this is what I'm talking about in my marriage, too.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, I have to keep reminding myself, if I say to Aaron, when you talk to me that way, he just goes, I'm out of here, gone. Aaron's not going to
mm-hmm.
fight. Aaron's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not working. So I think as women, we have to rise higher than them. And I know there's a part of you that might say, why should I have to? I'm the one exhausted. I'm the one who's hurt. I'm the one who doesn't even like you anymore. I'm the one who feels blah, 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 all that stuff. Why is it always me? And what I'm getting at, and Yvette and I talked last week about this, like, because I don't think men are going to do it ever in the history of the world. Have they? And I don't think they will. I don't think
mm-hmm.
they know how, and I don't think they've ever had to. Because
mm-hmm.
30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there was such a power struggle between men and women that there couldn't have been, as much as anyone says, it's almost like saying, it's like the Black Lives Matter movement in the States. It's
mm-hmm.
like, we're all equal now, I get that. But for a long time, we weren't. There was oppression. We were under
right.
men, blacks were under whites.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't be equal. We couldn't have, there wasn't love in a marriage. There could have been love in a marriage, but there was still a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that power struggle is still what's here. And so we have to, as women, say, do I want to be in a power struggle? Do I want to rise above it and teach the people around me how to treat me properly? I'm not struggling over power with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not struggling over power with you. I'm not. I'm powerful. You're powerful. Together we can be unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about your relationship, if you could wave a magic wand and make it anything you'd want it to be, and it would, let's just imagine, you could make it anything you wanted to be. What would you want?
I really don't know.
And that's what matters.
At this point, I really don't know.
So this is what's important, because if we don't really know what we want, then we're
mm-hmm.
spinning. We're spinning, and even the way we're talking, we're fighting, and we're not fighting, and we're getting, and we're not. Because we don't actually have an intention on that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your intention with your son? What do you want for him, for you and him, as he gets older? What do you have a desire for what you would want your relationship with him to be like as he gets older, or for him?
Well, to reach his full potential.
Yeah.
To be independent as possible.
Yeah.
For him to be happy.
Yeah.
And I see him happy. And yeah, but that's all what we want. I want to be happy. I guess that's what I want, to be happy in my marriage.
You're right. So see how you were clear about your child because you have such unconditional love for him?
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about. Could you imagine if we could have that level of love for all human beings, the way you love your son?
Mm.
For all human beings.
A beautiful world.
It would be a beautiful world. If we literally said, my intention for this relationship is for us to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to be
Simple.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Could be able to say to your husband, you know, I've been really thinking about what I want. And it's not that I want to leave you. It's not that I want to fight with you. It's not that I actually want you to be happy. I want to be happy. And I really actually would love us to be happy together. my dream is actually for us to be so loving and so kind and so caring towards each other. That's my dream. And if we women had the courage to talk like that to our relationships, to our children, to our parents, to our lovers, to our, I want our marriage to reach its potential.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to be independent. Mm-hmm. And we have to keep doing it. See, this is the thing. It's like, I think, Michael, I get it, Giselle. I get how exhausting it is. But I realize now they're never going to do it. So either we're going to be lesbians,
mm-hmm,
and not be with men, or if you're into a man and you aren't a lesbian, you're going to, mm-hmm, have to learn how to we have to heal our freaking men. They don't know how to, they've never had to learn our language.
Right.
They've never had to learn. White men have never had to learn the language of black men,
mm-hmm,
until now. That's what's happening now. We're finally reaching a world where white and black people have to learn a language that we can respect each other and have dignity with each other and kindness and compassion. We don't have to be the same. I'm not,
mm-hmm,
saying black people and white people are different, but I'm saying we have different histories. We all have different,
mm-hmm,
histories. I'm not,
mm-hmm,
asking you to be the same as me. I'm not asking my husband to be the same as me. But we have to show up in a way that we are going to teach them who,
mm-hmm,
we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to teach men what women really are. And you are really a loving woman.
Thank you.
And I don't think that our men really fully know who we are.
They definitely don't.
And they're not interested unless we're going to teach them. And we're going to do it in a way that they'll want to learn. And that's what I'm realizing, that my way is not, my husband doesn't want to learn the way I'm trying to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a child that can't learn to read the way I'm trying to teach, I have to change my style.
Right.
So if I want my husband to understand me and he's not understanding me, you know, sometimes I just say to him, okay, you're talking Chinese right now. Like, to me, I don't even get what you're talking about. This is Chinese. And if I'm talking Chinese to you, you're clearly not hearing me. So we're both speaking English, but we're not speaking the same language.
Right.
We got to learn the same. We got to learn how to find a language that works.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What do you
is.
Think? What do you think? What do you think, Yvette?
Agree. It's a language. Communicate in the right way, and then the right kind of words for,
yeah,
whatever the situation is.
Yeah. And I've noticed, like Yvette said, when I get angry, it pisses me off because I sometimes here I just was about to say something. This is what pisses me off in my marriage. Even with my kids, it doesn't seem like anyone really responds when I'm loving. I'm always loving. I am. I'm loving, 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 loving. And it's everybody's happy. There's no fighting. Everything's going along good. But it's not until I freak out that everybody kind of goes, oh, shit, and pulls up their bootstraps. And that's what pisses me off. Like,
yeah, why does that have to get to that level?
Why does it have to get,
yeah,
to the point where I have to yell at you? And that's when I realize, I can't. I have to change. Because my way of being loving, 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 okay, I'm starting to get my power away. I'm starting to get pissed off. I'm starting to be taken advantage of. I'm not feeling, we haven't made love for a while. I don't feel like you're, the kid's not listening to me. I'm starting to get pissed off. No one's cleaning the house. Why am I the only one cleaning? Now we're fighting over cleaning. Now you've just said one thing to that's inappropriate, and I just scream at you for being so rude to me. And my kid, Julia, will go, you're crazy. You're just crazy. Like, you're crazy.
And you probably are. You're probably acting like a nut bar at that
point. I am. I'm probably in that moment like, holy fuck, I should close the windows because my neighbors are going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's the love lady. You know, the lady that teaches love?
Yeah.
That's her screaming over there.
That empowerment.
Yeah. You know that empowered woman? That's her slamming doors and screaming next door. So this is for all of us. This is our way. This is right now for us women to really learn how, not how, we must master the art of communication so that we can get our needs met.
Yes.
You need to master the art of communication so you can get your needs met.
Okay.
Yvette, you have to master the art of communication so you can get your needs met.
Nah.
Crystal, I'm just trying to really learn it and embody this new way of communicating, and it's practice. I can't tell you how much practice. Like, it's like I have 2 or 3 months of like, bam, I think I got this, and then a week of like, all hell broke loose, you know. And then you realize, okay, I'm not healed. clearly I'm not healed. Let's go back to the drawing table. You know, and I think that's it. You got to keep taking it back on yourself and saying, okay, what's being triggered in me right now? What am I feeling? How do I show up differently? I've got to, you know, and this is the work that we're doing. The empowerment process that you're learning at SWOT is really how to walk yourself back up that empowerment spectrum, that map of consciousness, so that you can keep walking up and saying, okay, if I come into this conversation from this place, this emotional place, this uncertainty, this I'm not clear, I don't even know what I want, I'm just angry, it's going to be a negative outcome.
Okay.
If I can do the work myself firstly and get really clear on what I want, what courage would have me do, what boundaries I need to set, what am I willing to do, you know, what am I not willing to do, I got to get clear on that. Then I've got to really be responsible to the way I'm showing up, and I got to keep practicing it. And you're going to have setbacks, but then the more you practice it, this new way of showing up, it will get easier, and soon it will become your automatic.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know it's a lot of working on myself. It feels like he's the only one that does this trigger. So there's something going on.
It's all of us. It's our marriages. They trigger us.
Yeah.
Our marriages, our kids, our parents, our siblings.
They're the
biggest triggers
to us. They can cut right through anything.
Yeah, they cut through everything. They know your weakest spot. They know how to say things that hurt. We know their weakest spots. We sometimes say things that hurt. And I guess what I'm getting at is let's not give up on our relationships. Let's not give up on each other. Let's heal ourselves and let's really figure out how can I communicate differently, because this person once loved me and I once loved this person. Right? It was there. It was there, which means there is a love. There's a connection here. And the fact that he's pissing me off this much means there's still this huge electrical charge between the two of you. There's still a very big electrical charge between them. Imagine if you could channel that electrical charge into lovemaking.
That would be good.
Right. If we could channel that into, you know, passion and love. And, we really could heal the world. So, I know, it's a journey. It's definitely a journey. Yvette, your thoughts?
Well, and it's not going to get solved in one swoop. It's just practice.
That's it. It's not going to get solved from one conversation
Marcia,
with
Marcia.
Yeah. Marcia. Giselle, thanks for sharing and for being part of the conversation. We're all learning. And you know what? We learn by listening to each other. We learn by talking about it. We learn just by being aware. And so I'm just happy you had the courage to put up your hand and join the conversation.
It's all part of the healing process, right?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's great.
Thank you.
And for everyone else that joined or raised their hands today, definitely come back next week. We want to keep this conversation going because it's juicy and it's important. We're going to be on Chat with Crystal on our Facebook page. If you haven't joined it yet, just find Chat with Crystal Coaching Conversations on Facebook, and we'll be here to chat for a couple minutes after the call. And what else, Yvette? Anything else we got to talk about before we say goodbye?
Oh, yeah. California.
Woo! California. So San Diego, we have booked it. We're going to be doing a Simply Woman retreat in San Diego on the 17th of September. It's a Saturday. And then on the Wednesday night, is it Wednesday night, Yvette? Wednesday night in San Francisco.
September
we're just going to do a lovely enchanted evening. I'm going to be giving a talk. I think our SWAT sisters from the West Coast might be able to get out to the San Francisco night. It's just going to be a lovely evening together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're getting that posted in the next day or two as well. So I really hope you'll be able to come out, for those of you on the West Coast, and come see us in California. We're really excited about that. So, Yvette, anything else?
No, that'll do it for today. Lots
You're
of
beautiful.
Ideas.
You're beautiful.
Beautiful.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Thank you. And you are too.
Thank you, darling. I love you. And to everyone
love
on the
too.
Call today, have an awesome week. We love you. Thank you for showing
Yay.
Up. Thank you for being part of it. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.